Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Well, the arrival of Jesus Christ was attested by angels, by prophets, by priests, expectant mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, and their songs, and a man named Simeon. Not a prophet, not a priest, or anybody of great notoriety, but simply a man waiting for Jesus to come. Now, there's a lot of waiting in life, and you all know that, for every one of us. But there have always been men and women who waited well, even in the worst of circumstances, because they knew how to wait, that simply. And the Bible, in fact, is full of such people. There was Lot in Sodom and Abraham in the desert and Joseph in prison, Obadiah in Ahab's household, and Daniel in Babylon. And the great thing about these people and the great thing about Simeon was they all waited in possession of God's promises. That's my first point, God's promises. Simeon, of course, had a very special promise, for it says in the text, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, once he had this promise, as someone has observed, he must have walked through the streets of the city waiting for the salvation that God had promised to give. You can imagine him watching parents as they presented their children at the temple, perhaps even pulling back the baby clothes and peering into their tiny faces and wondering if this child might be the Christ. Well, maybe you're waiting for something good to happen yourself this new year, something you're expecting. Or maybe you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, like the person, I think it was C.S. Lewis, who described as a strikingly beautiful woman with a large and happy family, a loving and devoted husband, and as wealthy as anyone could imagine, who awoke every morning, notwithstanding, passed every day in deep, crippling misery and fear and expectation that everything was certain to come crashing down in a state of ruin at any moment. I hope it's not that way with you. But maybe you're just so tired and disappointed with your life that you find it hard to believe any promise, hard to have any expectation that anything really good could happen to you spiritually or otherwise. Now, none of that is where we should be as Christians. For you must understand that a great part of what it means to be a Christian is not waiting on the world, but to be someone who is waiting on God and resting in his promises, trusting that God will keep his promises and answer our prayers in his good time according to his perfect wisdom for his own glory and not ours. We are not to suppose that you and I don't have more and better promises than Simeon. You have in your hands this great book filled with God's promises that you could and should set before yourself every morning. Especially useful are those promises that you've taken the time to read carefully and to meditate, to think about and claimed and even memorized. Back to the urging to read the Bible this year. Many, many Bible promises, very rightly may be taken hold by any one of us and become a powerful and legitimate means of grace and comfort to you, as it was to Simeon, propelling you forward resolutely, peacefully in this new year, especially as we appropriate them, these promises, in the power of the Holy Spirit. For God, the Holy Spirit, has bound himself to his holy word. Our text tells us that it was in the Spirit. It was the Spirit that revealed to Simeon that he would see the Christ. If you're confessing Christ this morning, if you're a saved or spiritually regenerated man or woman or young person, God has given you also the Holy Spirit to powerfully and effectually remind you and secure you in his promises, to instruct you and comfort you and rebuke you and bless you through his word. The Bible is not like any other book that you read or hear about or see, is it? It's the Word of God. And God drives it into our hearts through his Spirit in wonderful ways. So, Simeon's patience was grounded in God's promise. That's the first thing. But of course, there was something else that Simeon possessed, and that was faith. He had promises and he had faith. In verse 29, we read that he held up the infant Jesus in his arms and he prayed faithfully. He said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon was ready to depart this life and pass on to the next, and his heart was at perfect peace. There's many people who can never manage to live in peace, let alone die in peace, but Simeon certainly did, and he declares it. Every day he waited in suspense and with peaceful expectation. Especially, he was at peace, of course, after he had seen the one he knew to be the Lord, the baby Jesus. He knew in an instant that this was the Christ, was his Savior. Now, how is that possible? How is it possible for him to have waited patiently all those years and so peacefully as he apparently was? Well, the answer is faith. Faith in God's promises, especially faith in the gospel. It's faith that gives us peace and patience. Simeon was waiting in faith. He lived in faith. He was ready to die in faith. And he could do that because he'd seen the Lord, because the Savior had come to Simeon. But no less has he come for us and to us. So anyone who can look to Jesus in faith, trusting in his promises, and especially the promises of the forgiveness of sin and the promise of heaven, anyone who has that faith can share with Simeon a heart of patience and a heart of peace. Patience and peace comes from knowing God and knowing that you're right with God, knowing that you're saved by Christ alone, plus nothing added of yourself, resting in faith, believing that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. Being able to say in your heart, there's nothing more that I can do because Jesus did it all. And I'm complete in Him. Well, so here's my point. There's nothing particularly profound in all of this, in what I've been saying in this very brief message. Is there? It's what is it that gives a man the grace of Simeon? What is the source of patience and real peace? It'll never come with the material blessings of this life. Human philosophies will always fall short. Health and prosperity is like water passing through our fingers. But faith that lays hold of the promises of an unseen Savior, that will last. Faith is the ground of our patience. Faith is the only basis of peace with God. And get this, faith is the gift of God. It's God's great Christmas gift. For everyone will humble themselves and ask for it. If you don't have faith, if you're thinking, well, I don't quite know what to do with this because I don't feel like I have a lot of faith, well, then ask for it. You know, there's nothing mysterious about this. There's no special words or, you know, abracadabra. And I don't know, maybe some religions have things like that. We don't have that. God says, just ask. Just ask, ask. Say, Lord, I don't think I have any faith. You know, that's a sin. I'm sorry for that, but will you forgive me and give me faith? We could all ask for more faith. Well, did you celebrate the gift of faith in the birth of the Lord Jesus recently? Now we're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper. At Christmas time, we're reminded of Bethlehem. The very name, Bethlehem, is very prophetic in and of itself. Bethlehem literally translates as the house of bread, prophetically called the city of David, pointing us to David, but also and especially to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. He is. But also in the city of Bethlehem, and some of you who've read your Bible well know about this, there was a celebrated well, a well in Bethlehem from which the exiled David longed to drink, 2 Samuel 22:15. That historic incident also points us to David's greater son, Jesus, who satisfies the thirst of our souls. Outside of Christ, we live a dry, thirsty life. That's what Christianity is about. We're made alive. And part of that is God's grace. Oh, it's all God's grace. Jesus said, after all, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. That's what Jesus said. Now, in receiving the bread and the wine or the juice of the Lord's Supper, we're not simply reenacting through the supper of something that happened, rightly reminding ourselves, as it does, of the saving death and later the resurrection of Christ, because God gave it to us also as a means of grace, which is to say that when in faith we receive the bread and the juice, we receive, God gives us grace. There's grace, the patience and peace and promise of God that Simeon possessed is appropriated with the hands of faith as we grasp hold of these promises and God's grace and the Lord Jesus, he blesses us. We are in some measure given to us, conveyed to us, yet again through our participation in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which is the kiss of Christ. We might even say that it was Jesus' parting gift of blessing and renewal to his children, you and I. Jesus, knowing full well what his apostles were facing when they walked out of that door in the upper room, and knowing what you and I face in the days and year to come, 2024, there is for God's people grace in the supper. What a great way to celebrate together Jesus and his gift and patient faith in this new year. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord our God, we look at this man Simeon and we're reminded of a man of patience and a man of faith and a man of peace. Lord, those very things that we all desire too. And we're thankful that they're not mysterious or not to be had except by some special cast of people there for us. You give them to us as we cast ourselves upon you every day even. Lord, we pray for that faith. We pray you give it to us and bless it to our hearts as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning. We thank you for, Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for your blessings upon this congregation. We do pray for the pastor and his wife as they're away, Claude and Tracy. We pray for those in need in our midst. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world, Lord. And we pray for ourselves. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.